not about the money.
It's not about doing a good deed, making yourself feel good, or checking,
the box to say you accomplished the task.
It's a reminder.
It's a reminder to listen to his heart.
To listen to his heart.
To know his character.
To experience his grace.
And to trust his provision.
So look at yourself.
Your time.
Your resources.
Your mind, body, and spirit.
Ask yourself,
is my heart aligned with the God I claim to follow?
With the God I claim to follow?
It's about your heart.
Well, good morning again. If you missed it, I'm Pastor Keith. I just want to welcome you here again. And man, I don't know, there's been times in my life where I haven't been so good. Anybody relate to that? He's always good. Man, that song was so great. Thank you to our team. Now, I just want to start this morning by asking if you recognize any of these slogans, all right? And I'm going to just read them out, and what I want you to do as I read them, I want you to consider what each of them is promising, okay? You ready? Don't live life without it. That is the American Express credit card slogan. Here's another one. It's everywhere you want to be. That's Visa's slogan. Here's another one. There are some things that money can't buy, but for everything else, there's... Anybody got it? MasterCard, right? And then there is the Chase Freedom card. Their slogan is, you're always earning. All right. Now, what each of these credit card companies are really trying to sell you and I on is the idea of what? It's the idea of freedom, really, when you think about it. According to them, with their card, you and I, we can live life, we can go anywhere, we can purchase everything in life that money can buy, right? And you can actually earn money as you do it. Now, I think most of us know that that's not how it usually pans out, right? I mean, it wouldn't be, because let's be real, these companies, they are looking to make a profit, and the biggest profit they can. Now, the true way to real freedom... Remember, that's the journey we're on? The true way to real freedom, well, it's going to surprise you today, I think. We'll get to it in a bit, but before we do, I want you to remember that last week we began some biblical teaching on life and on finances, and we did that from 1 Timothy 6, and we're going to be there today. You can get there in your Bible now if you want to get there. And in this letter, what we saw last week is how Paul taught that godliness with contentment is great gain. And we saw that we are meant to be, and we can be, in fact, free. We saw that we can be free to enjoy what we've been provided with by our Heavenly Father, right? So with that said, today in what we cover from Paul's letter, it's going to be a warning, okay? A warning to us all about staying out of the most populated prison in the world. In fact, this prison facility, it has more inmates than it has bunks. It has more prisoners than it can take care of. If you were able just to ask some of these inmates, they will tell you that they are overworked and they are underfed. Again, no prison, okay, is more populated. And no prison is more oppressive. And what's worse is that it is also often more permanent. More permanent than many prisons. Very few inmates, in other words, manage to leave it before they die. In other words, they serve a life sentence, okay? And this prison, I'm telling you what, this prison was open. It was open and operating in Paul's day, and it is still open today. And what's the name of this prison? Well, in four letters, the name of this prison is More. M-O-R-E. It is the prison of More. You see, we Americans overall, we define freedom as being able to do whatever we want, wherever we want, and regardless if we can afford it or not. And the truth is, it does bring more, okay? It does bring more, but just not in the way that we think or that we would desire or that we are sold, because the more it brings is more debt and more stress and more hopelessness ultimately. As the pit of debt gets deeper and as we actually fall into more generational poverty and even more greedy, maybe. And the very last thing it brings is more freedom, okay? but just the opposite, where we get to the point of becoming enslaved. Enslaved to the very thing that promised us freedom. So with that, here's what Paul writes in verse 9 of 1 Timothy 6. Let's read that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and into destruction. Now, I think Paul is talking here about the prison of more, don't you? I mean, can't you see that in there? Do we want more money and more possessions or a car we can't really afford but really want, or a vacation that we will pay for over time? Or do we want to buy more Christmas presents that we're still paying on in May? Or do we want almost feeling like we have to have the newest or the latest phone or watch? Do we always want more? Well, if we do in any area of our life, it's going to lead into, as Paul says, many foolish, church, and many harmful desires. Or the belief that we can have whatever we want because at the end of the day, we can charge it, right? We can just charge it on the card, or we can pay for it in affordable monthly payments, right? Or we can work a little bit longer, or maybe we can partner with someone who kind of plays on the edge a little bit, you know, to hit the jackpot, or maybe to find the right stock to pick that. But in that, how many of us just find ourselves in over our heads, in debt? Or how many of us have to decide which bill to pay and which to delay? You know, kicking that inevitable can down the road because of our fearful and because of our foolish and because of our harmful desires. And how many of us short-sightedly think that owning certain things or living in a certain lifestyle will prove that we are a success? And then how many, maybe as a result of all of this, are then tempted to cheat on our own taxes, right? Or to do something like that. Or maybe we wish that we could support our church or some other worthy cause, but at the end of the day, there's just like nothing left. Let's be honest, okay? How many of us have stopped? How many of us have stopped giving to the Lord when we stopped attending worship in person, right? Because of the pandemic or just in general because attendance is less and less based on the chasing of other things, right? And how many of us fight? Do you ever fight with your other significant other, if you have one, about money? How many of us do that? Or could even say that our closest relationship is in danger or maybe even turmoil because of our decisions about money or the chasing of more. With that thinking in mind, Paul then continues in verse 10 with this. Let's read it. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now hear this, okay? Money is not evil. It is the love of money that sprouts all kinds and all sorts of evil. And this is true for people with a lot of money, right? And for people who don't have any money, it's true for everyone in between on that spectrum. And so though the world would tell us something differently, loving money, church, hurts. It is in fact like stabbing yourself, okay? With your own knife. It's like piercing yourself again and again because I'm telling you what, no matter how much money you or I have, in the end, it's just never enough. And the point here is not to make you or I feel guilty, okay? The point is, again, just like it was last week, to help you and I be free. To help us be free, because I'll tell you what, God wants you and I, He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free from greed and from the mad scramble for more stuff, because something will give. Something's gonna give. You will have to sacrifice something. And God, He wants you and I to be free. Free from trying to prove our worth by what we own. And free to be able to respond to what He puts in front of us. And as I mentioned earlier, the way to true freedom, well, I'm telling you what, it may surprise you this morning. But I want us to look what Paul continues to write in this letter to Timothy, the leader at the church at Ephesus. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. It says this, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold," listen to this, "take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." You see, whereas greed tells us to take hold of more now to enrich our future, Jesus tells us to take hold of our future, the future he has in store for us, the eternal life future. His idea is to take hold of that now to enrich our lives now, which means don't pursue money and don't pursue possessions and or riches, because they bankrupt us in the end. They bankrupt our soul in the end. But if we pursue righteousness above all else, with things like the fruit of the Spirit, which is partially listed in that verse we just read, then God, I'm telling you what, God will add so much more to our life than we can even imagine. And if you don't believe Paul, if you don't believe me, let's check out Jesus' words. Matthew 6:33, where he tells his followers, where he tells us this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you as well." And here's what's cool. You know what's really cool? Our righteousness, get this, our righteousness at the end of the day is defined, okay, as the state of being acceptable to God. And that righteousness comes from Christ. It comes from Christ to you and I, to us, through our acceptance of him into our life, as our forgiveness, as our Lord, as our Savior, where we are washed white as snow before God. So our righteousness is Christ, okay? So when Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, to pursue the Father, in other words, and to pursue his righteousness, he is telling us, church, to seek himself, to seek his presence, and to do his work above our own agenda, right? And above our own will. Why? Well, because all that we buy, all that we build, all that we possess, I'm telling you what, it cannot squelch the inner turmoil of our human soul. Not for very long, anyway. It does not do our souls any good, nor help others. And our souls outlast money. And our souls outlast our possessions into eternity, church. Which means we need something bigger, okay? We need something stronger than ourselves as a salve, okay? As a salve for our hearts to connect us in right relationship with God. And I'm telling you what, that something bigger, that something stronger is Jesus Christ. Period. Amen. So, how does one pursue the kingdom of God? How does one pursue his righteousness, specifically when it comes to money? Well, first, I'll tell you what, be humble. First, be humble and be grateful. We do well to remember, as Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us, that it is God, church. It is God who gives us the ability to work. It is God who gives us the ability to think. It is God who gives us the ability to make money. When it comes down to it, everything you or I have is ultimately from him. We, as Americans, we love to think that we are self-made. We love to think that our success, our own wealth individually, or even as a nation, we love to think it is exclusively, or primarily, I should say, because of our good qualities. And or our good efforts, and or our intellect, which are important to gain. Don't get me wrong. Those things are important to gain. Those things are important to grow in. Those things are important to exert. But they are secondary, you see. The raw materials came from him. End of the day. They came from him, and we must maximize them. We must do that for his glory. And we must be thankful, and we must be humble. So let me just ask you, when was the last time you thanked God? When was the last time you thanked God for what you had? For example, the very air in your lungs. When is the last time you thanked God for the legs that he gave you to get from point A to point B, or whatever ability you have to do that? When's the last time? When is the last time that you thanked him for the sufficient food to fuel your day, or the clean water that sustains your very life? Listen, you don't provide those things for yourself primarily. God does. He does. And I want you to stay tuned, because I'm telling you what, next week, we're going to get to hear from one of our ministry partners, okay, who serves those who don't have these things quite so easily. And I really think it's going to be an eye-opener for us, okay, to realize how much that we have, how much we really have at the end of the day that comes from him. And so, you see, seeking God and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, it starts with acknowledging the vast riches that we already have. That we already have in and because of him, because of our God. And it also comes from being regularly aware of the things that pull us away from his righteousness, and from being grateful, and from being humble. Now also, we must be students of and on our toes regarding our triggers. So we are to be humble, we are to be thankful, and we are to be students of our triggers. What gets you into more mode? Is it a type of product? No, I personally, as I shared briefly last week, I'm never, I don't think, going to want more things like video games or the latest sneakers. But you know what gets me? It's more dinners out, right? It's more adventures. It's more experiences. All, again, like I said last week, that cost money. Or maybe for you, maybe it's a person who triggers you. Perhaps a family member who feels the need to comment on all their new stuff. Their new cars, their new house maybe, their vacations, you name it. And that triggers you. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe the person that triggers you is the person that has to make the point of noticing how old your stuff is. How old your phone is, right? You still got a flip going on, right? Or maybe it's the fact that your kids, they go to public school, they're not going to a private school, or that you don't have all the toys that they have, or maybe it's even an influencer online, you know, social media, someone that pops up in your feed, and then you suddenly notice the worldly more that they have. And that desire for more monster, right? It starts chattering in here, doesn't he? If that's you, okay, if that's you, if it's a person, perhaps you should reflect on why. Why that person affects you in that way. And maybe you should limit, right? And or totally eliminate their influence over you. Because when you and I are able, when we are able to identify the things that trigger us to spend money on the things that we don't have and on the things that we don't need, then you know what? We can then get out of debt. Or we can stop that debt from growing. Did you know that Americans carry $807 billion in credit card debt? Did you know that the average American, per a 2021 CNBC report, has over $90,000 in debt? Meaning that is how much we owe on things that we already have. And get this, the highest rate of credit card debt is for people in their 40s and their 50s. We should know better, guys. I should know better. We should know better. But I'll tell you what, the writers of Scripture, they know. They know that we need reminders. And so in Proverbs 6, verse 1 through 5, it says this. Dear friend, okay, if you have gone into hock with your neighbor, or in other words, locked yourself into a deal, even with a stranger, or if you've impulsively promised the shirt off your back and now you find yourself shivering out in the cold, it says, friend, it says, don't waste a minute. Do not waste a minute. Get yourself out of that mess. You are in the clutches, it continues to say, of a man. You are not free, in other words. That's what that means. Don't procrastinate, it continues. There is no time to lose. Listen, he says, run like a deer. Run like a deer from the hunter and fly like a bird from the trapper. So Proverbs teaches us, okay, that the borrower is always a servant to the lender. We, though, okay, let's talk about us. We, you and I, as children of God, we are called, however, to be servants of Him. Servants of Him, not servants of banks or any credit card companies. And I mean, think about it. Who cares about you more? At the end of the day, who cares about you more, God or the CEOs of those institutions to which you owe money? So get out. Get out from under the power. Get out from under the power of the lender and get serious about paying off debt. Now, this takes commitment. I'm not going to lie. It takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. It takes a great deal of patience, of which the Lord, don't miss this, the Lord will lead you in, okay? And He gives you the power for that through the Holy Spirit of God. And if you are married, work together to do this. Be honest with one another about your debts. Make a plan together. Work the plan together. Pray over the plan together. And celebrate together. We miss that part. Celebrate together at each and every milestone. And if you start to swerve, okay, if you start to slip up, get back on track. If you're single, make a plan and maybe invite someone into that, a trusted friend, a family member, to speak into your plan and give them permission to keep you accountable, to ask you from time to time, how's that going? Just pick a place to begin and begin. Maybe pick the smallest debt or maybe pick the debt with the highest interest rate. The idea is to put a win under your belt. That's the idea. To do that as soon as possible and then take whatever you were paying on that debt once it's behind you, celebrate, don't miss it, celebrate a little, and then put what you were using toward that debt towards the next one. That's called the snowball effect, okay? And to maybe help build momentum, maybe sell some stuff. Maybe cancel a subscription here or there. Maybe get a temporary job, a part-time job. There's plenty of them out there right now. Or maybe buy a used car, right? Maybe buy and move into a smaller house. Maybe use secondhand clothes. Secondhand shirt right here, guys. Yeah, yay for me. But honestly, the Trading Post has some nice things. But and you know what? At the end of the day, what will people think about you if you buy a more affordable home or something or a more affordable car? I don't know. Maybe they'll think that you're smart or something. And listen, your wise choices are more important than their good impression of you. And anyways, who cares about what people think, right? We serve Him. Because if they really love, if they really care for you, they're going to want you to be wise. They're going to want you to be free. And I'll be honest, getting free, again, it isn't easy. And it isn't always quick. And it means getting started and taking step after step after step, even when you don't feel like it, okay? But it will be worth it. And truth be told, even those, okay, who get out of prison, they need some time to adjust to a life of freedom, right? So it is slow, it is painful, but the freedom, again, it will be worth it. Now, we as a church, we do try to go the extra mile to try to help and equip people with these kind of things, to try to achieve this freedom and the peace that comes with it. So if you want to learn more about how to get free and to be wise with money, just wanted to let you know there's going to be a training course on all of this from a godly perspective. It's a course called Financial Peace. We're going to be offering that in the fall, and you're going to hear about how to get involved in that in the summer. And I would just encourage you to consider that if you're in this tough spot. So with that said, seeking God's kingdom, seeking His righteousness, it largely means identifying those things that pull you into the prison of more, right? And ridding yourself of them as much as possible so you can grasp the eternal life that we talked about, the eternal life that you have in Jesus Christ. And the more we get through that, the truth is, I'm telling you what, the more peace we will have as we don't have to hustle, as we don't have to hustle anymore to keep up. And the more rest that we will have as we get to relax in the truth and the knowledge that God provides all that we need. And the more contentment we will find, the more joy we will find, and even the most simple things, leaving us to be able to be more generous. Through all of this, we will find joy. We will find the joy in giving to others, right? And the joy of being able to respond and to truly fulfill opportunities that come before us. For I'm telling you what, it is as the Bible says it is truly better to give than to receive. Which leads us to our last point for today. Don't wait. With all this said, don't wait to be generous, okay? And I say that because I can say this. Think about it for a second. God didn't wait to be generous with us, did he? He made the first move to give to us. He did that at creation, making everything and making even us in his very image. And even when humanity chose to disobey him, he still generously provided the earth with what it needs to support life. And he generously gave us his son. He gave us his son, Jesus, who gave up the glory and the riches of heaven to be born into poverty, church, and to live his whole life without even owning a home himself, without even owning a boat or any means of transportation. I mean, think about it. He had to borrow a donkey. He had to borrow a donkey for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem before his arrest, before his death, only to rise again. And he keeps giving. He keeps being generous, church, as he offers us of his Spirit to lead, to guide, to empower us. So even if you are strapped financially, the point is you can give something. You can maybe be generous now. You can. You know, there's a story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus is, he's observing some people bringing their offering. And he observes many people giving large amounts. But you know this story. Then he observes a widow, right? Who gives just a couple of coins, amounting to maybe a few cents, okay? And he told his disciples this. He said, they gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on. His point in all that is the heart, okay? The heart with which you and I give, the heart is more important than the amount any day of the week. You are never too poor to be generous, in other words. So the irony of Jesus' way to freedom is that it's not based on getting, it's based on giving. Giving can free you, and it can free me. It can free us from the love of money or the temptation to that. It can free us from the prison of more and wanting more. Now, my wife Laura and I, as I alluded to last week, we are regular tithers. Plus, we give to Heart Check, we give to another ministry. And again, I don't say that to brag, but I'm telling you, okay, that is only possible due to the discipline we have in other areas of our money life. Just so you know, we largely operate on a cash and an envelope system. We largely operate on a very disciplined budget, which financial peace that I mentioned teaches about. But I'm telling you what, the ability that that gives us to say no to things and to say yes to God, that has been huge in our journey. Have we made mistakes? Absolutely. For example, we bought into a timeshare that we probably shouldn't have, okay? And don't get me wrong, it's been good somewhat for us to force us to get away on vacation, but I'm telling you what, it has more hindered us from everyday life. And let me tell you this, because we got our finances in order after a few years into marriage, it freed me. It freed us. It freed me to leave corporate America to make much less money, mind you, and to be a pastor, serving in an eternal fashion. And it allowed my wife, as I mentioned last week, to take some time off of work recently to attend to our family. And you know what? For you, you may or may not be called to be a pastor or in full-time ministry, but all I am saying, okay, is the sooner you start and the more progress you make, I'm telling you, the freer you are. the freer you are to say yes. To say yes to what's truly important, which is God's work, and to what he puts in front of you as opportunities. And just back real quick to this not waiting to be generous. If you're not giving, maybe to the church regularly, perhaps your next step is just to do that. Just that simply. Just give regularly. Pick an amount and go for it. Now, if you're married, you hear me? Talk to your spouse first, okay? I do not want to see a spike in my counseling time. Right? But just talk. Pick an amount. Pick an amount per pay period to give and just get into that rhythm. Now, if you've gotten into that rhythm already, maybe it's time to step up to what we would call percentage giving. Maybe that's your next step. You know, pick a percentage, even if it's 1%, and do that every pay period. Now, if you're already giving a percentage, you know, maybe your next step is to increase that percent to what's called the tithe, which is 10%, right? Now, if you're already there, we still have good news. You know, if you're already a regular tither, then later in the series, we're going to share how you can check your heart and take that next step as a heart check partner to support our outreach and our missions. So really, which one of these is yours? Which one's your next step? And really what it is, it's your next step to pursue the Father by seeking his kingdom and by seeking his righteousness, all in an act of worship, by giving more of your treasure, which is really his treasure that he's entrusted you with, right? And when you do it, you will realize more. I'm telling you what. You will realize more in God's way. God's way of more. And I can't explain my experience that I've had. You need your own. That's all I can say. You need your own, but you will feel freedom. Because at the end of the day, trying to appease our souls by getting and keeping and acquiring the things of this world, that just lands us in prison. The prison of more. Again, more stress, more anxiety, more hopelessness. So ask yourself today, are you free? And if you aren't, pray. Pray and talk about it and take a step. Take a risk. Take a step, take a risk, and just see what God may do. Because as you honor him, he will provide for you. That's what I've learned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, thanking you for this day and this time together. Lord, thank you that your kingdom, as we often talk, is an upside-down kingdom. We are so ingrained in acquiring and keeping and holding and protecting, but at the end of the day, it leaves our souls empty. So Lord, for each one of us, it's our own journey. And what Jesus taught us about the widow is it's about the heart. So, Lord, my journey looks different than anybody else's in this room, and that's cool. But I just need to be in tune with what you're asking of me, and each person in this room just needs to be in tune with what you're asking of them. And then it's just taking a step of obedience to the one that is the God of provision. So, Lord, help us just to be a people that don't get so hindered and trapped by things, but that are free to say yes to you. More and more as we get out from under the burden of what we may be facing from a debt standpoint. We pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.